As I said, after they had built the wall, they said, bring the books. Bring the law. We want to hear from the Word of God. We want to hear a God of the Word. And they read from the Word of God from morning to night. And the people says, we'll do all God says for us to do. And they had a revival. And I'm telling you from the Word of God. But now we are in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And as this chapter, if you read probably many times, you heard the scripture on revival probably more than any other scripture that you probably have ever had or read. And that is 2 Chronicles 7:14. Solomon had built the temple of the Lord. He had dedicated the temple of the Lord. And after the people had returned and done all what God had told them to do about building the temple, that great temple of Solomon, these words God said to them about revival. The people needed revival in that nation of Israel. And to understand probably the biggest need and the greatest need we have on our life and on our family and on our church, on our nation as a whole, is revival. Revival, it is God's people. You and I today, it's God. Revival, it means to live again. Psalms 85:6 says, will thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? If you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ, I hope before you leave here this day, you'll understand that you are a poor lost sinner and you need to come to Jesus Christ for the saving grace. Throw yourself on the mercy of the Lord, accept what He done on Calvary's cross, and by faith that you can leave here a child of God. Are you sitting here this morning and you're not saved? You will be no part of the revival. You will be no part of the revival if you're lost. Revival is for God's people that's already saved. It means to live again. We must live again. To understand this, the responsibility is God's people. The saved have the responsibility and bear the responsibility spiritually in the life and the welfare of your homes. We at a time in the country that we're living in, the homes are falling apart. God-believing people is in some of these homes. And it is your spiritual responsibility to see that you can do all you can to keep this from happening. But also it is our responsibility as God's children here today to have a revival in this church. It's our responsibility across this nation for God's people to have a revival across this nation. And we pray so many times, Lord, help this nation. Turn these people, turn our leaders around, turn this country around. There will be no turning, understand me, without repentance of God's people. There will be no revival without repentance. There will be no turning without repentance. God's people must repent. That is something that we need to do. We need to humble ourselves. As reading this verse of scriptures many times, and I need about 8 hours to preach this verse of scriptures. There's so much in this that we need today, just like they needed it back in those days. And it says, if my people, God is talking to somebody special there, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then and only then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege this day. Father, we know that you're setting ready, oh God, to revive this church and revive someone in this church. Father, we know that everybody will not be revived in a revival meeting that we're going to have, God, if you see fit to allow us. Father, the man that's coming cannot bring revival, God. It's only through you, God, that revival comes. But only through us, God, whenever we meet the condition that you're willing to send this and you want to send this. And Lord, how that you'd like to revive this church so much. And Father, how we're so unconcerned about our life and about the life around us and about people that surround us this day. Father, I pray that each one of us here today, that we might get a grip upon the things that you would have us to do. That we're here for just a little while. that time is so important and so valuable to your kingdom and your work. Father, there's coming a day when you said that no man can work. Father, I pray that we might be able to be the church that you'd want us to be on fire for you, Lord. When this happens, Lord, we know that souls will be saved. They'll see and understand the power of God. And they will come to know you and the many, many things that happen to God's people. And Father, we thank you, Lord. And I pray, God, that you might help me speak the words of God here this day. And not what I want to speak, but Father, what you will have me to speak for the people to have the attendant ears to hear and understand. And Father, truly that we need a revival of God here in this church, in the lives of your people and across this land. And we thank you for this privilege and opportunity on this side of eternity. For your people here this day, for this few minutes, to honor such a great God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, we do humbly pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" God wants to revive us, but there must be a self-examination of our life today. Everyone in this building now need to examine themselves. As I said, that we have this responsibility. We need to have this renewing in our heart that we might be able to be the people that God would want us to be. I know that for so many times we have tried to water dead sticks. I mean, we visit all the time and we try our dead level best to get as many people to come. We encouraging every week. We go those same doors over and over. And we do not know who's saved and who's lost, but I can guarantee you for a surety, there are some of these people that we come into in contact with all the time, has their name on this church roll, is a dead stick. I do not know who they are, but I can assure you there's some dead sticks. And all in the world you do when you keep watering a dead stick, all it does is rot. I'm telling you, there's something bad wrong with people when you cannot get them to understand the Holy Spirit of God lives in them if they're saved. And when revival comes and they understand what they're supposed to do, you won't have to beg anybody to do what God has called us to do. It is a great privilege to do what God wants us to do. It's nothing that I have to do. It's something that I want to do. And I want to do what God has called me. As I said, I needed about 8 hours at least on this verse of Scripture. There's so much that God is telling us to do. And I usually get through preaching, I get my first or maybe my second point, but I want to start on my third point just in case I don't get that far today. And that is the promise of God. He's talking to the people of revival. He's talking about a process of revival, but most of all now, he has promised us a revival if we, his people, do what he says for us to do. As you think about this now, the promise of revival, he says, but not until. Don't you think that you're going to have revival until what God has told you to do in his word. You will not have revival. And as I said Wednesday night, I do believe that some people in this church are going to have revival. I want to have revival myself. But I know that everybody in this church that comes this coming week, tonight and every other night, if you come every night, some people don't intend to come to start with, but if you do come, everybody is not going to be revived. I mean, the same message is going to go out across this auditorium, the same words and the same Holy Spirit, but everybody is not going to be revived. Everybody is not going to change the lifestyle they're living right now. Everybody is not going to be committed to the things that they know to do. Everybody is not going to obey the Word of God. Everybody is not going to seek God's face. Everybody is not going to humble themselves. Everybody is not going to pray. Everybody is not going to do what God says to do. And if you will not do that, you will not have revival. You'll go out the way you come in and there will nothing be changed in your life and you'll still be going down that road of disobedience and you'll see nothing happen in your home. You won't see nothing happening in your life. You won't see nothing happen in the church and you just go on from day to day and live this life the best that you can and you're going to miss all the great blessings that God wants to bless you with being a child of God if you miss these things. Everybody will not be revived. I tell you, we need revival today. We need to be revived. God's poised and ready to send revival, and it's got to come from God. Down on Miami, and off the coast of Cuba, out into the Atlantic Ocean. It's what they call the Bermuda Triangle. Anybody heard about that Bermuda Triangle? It's a great place out in the ocean, and they tell me that planes flies over this area. They go off a radar. They cannot trace them. They go down into the sea, and there's no trace of those planes. For many years, they've been wondering about what's going on down in the Bermuda Triangle. It's also called the Devil's Triangle. They have ships that went out, and they've lost all radio contact with ships that's sailing through this Bermuda Triangle or this Devil Triangle. And ships goes down, and they send out planes to try to find out what happened, or anybody that could be saved. They can't find out any trace of the ships, any trace of the planes, and many of them has went down, ships have went down, and they cannot find out any place or any trace of anybody, anything that's left out there. And they call this a mystery. But I really do believe it's a myth. I do not believe this stuff, but I know that it happens. We may not have all the evidence, but it's called the Devil's Triangle. Things disappears. But I want to tell you what, we have another triangle. And that triangle is a triangle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the triune triangle that we have here in this latter parts of Scripture here today. Now, God makes things appear. As we see this now, many Christians today are Jonah Christians. Jonah was in a sleep of the Devil's Triangle. And that Devil's Triangle was, he was unconcerned. He was in the storm. He was unconcerned. He did not care about other people. Also about disobedient in his life. And he was non-committed to the things of God. He wouldn't know what the Lord told him to do. And he was down in his ship asleep. Many, many Jonah Christians today around us, and they are asleep. They are in disobedience. They are unconcerned about the things they should be concerned with. They do not have the commitment to do what God has told them to do. As I told you many times, if you are a child of God, you've been born, from above by the Spirit of God. You no longer belong to yourself. You are a child of God. I'm going to tell you, your life no longer belongs to you, that you was redeemed not by corruptible things of silver and gold or either blood of animal, but you was redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were bought with a high price, and the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in your heart. You no longer belong to yourself. If you're here today and you married to Jesus Christ, what you said, I do, you come up to Jesus Christ on your knees knowing that you was a sinner, knowing that you was on your way to hell, and Jesus Christ come to your heart and your life and says, I'll forgive you and you'll be my bride if you just say I will. And if you hear this day and you are born again child of God, you said I will, and you become that child of God, you become the bride of Jesus Christ, and you no longer belong to yourself. You do not do what you want to do. You do what God has commanded you to do. And listen, I tell you, and I'm going to keep telling you again and again and again and again, if you are a child of God, I'm going to tell you, if you know that you've been born again, God has already in his word told you exactly what he wants you to do. You have no choice where you come to church on Sunday morning. You have no choice where you come to church on Sunday night. God has already done that for you. He's already commanded you to do what you're supposed to do. Anytime that children of God meets at a place that God calls them to meet at Pleasant Hill, and you're a member of this church, God has already commanded you to be here. If you're not sick and you can, God has already commanded you to tithe your tithe to God. God has already commanded you to go out and witness as we ought to do. God has already commanded that to us. You do not have no choice. You say, oh yes I do, I'm not going to come back tonight. I'm not going to come this Wednesday night. I'm not going to come revival. But you do not have a choice where you come or not. You just have a choice where you disobey God or you obey God. Hear me. That's what God says. It's already been decided your life. Who have begun a good work in you will complete that work until that day that you're called home. The Holy Spirit of God is living in your heart. And God says, I got something I want you to do. It's either obedience or it's disobedient to what God has called you to do. And it's here in the Word of God. God has promised us a revival if we would do this. The Devil's Triangle. There are too many people now that's asleep in the church. Jonah Christian now. now while the storm is blowing across our life. The storm is blowing across our homes, and they're blowing our homes away in our country. Can we understand this? But we are asleep, and we do not care about the things of God. And if we don't get back to the things of God, they're going to be more homes wrecked than they've ever been before. He has commanded us to be in the house of God and do the things that God has called us to do, and they're blowing away our homes, and they're blowing away our marriages, and they're blowing away our families this day. But I'm going to tell you, not only that, they're blowing away our churches and the power of the witness that we have today. Who is concerned today about lost people? Who is concerned about that person next door? Who is concerned about visitation to go out and knock on doors and invite people and encourage people? I'm going to tell you what's happening. The power of our witnessing is gone because we're living in that devil's triangle of uncommitted people, of disobedient people, and unconcerned people this day. Our churches, and not only that, is our nation. Every one of us understands that our nation is in a mess, the biggest mess it's ever been in the history of our country, and it's going down further all the time. But I'm going to tell you, it's not up in Washington, D.C. I'm going to tell you what, that is not the trouble, and that is not the problem in our country. It might be one of them, but the problem is a people. Jesus Christ says, are called by my name. He said, this is the problem. Our churches is the problem today. And I'm telling you, standing by behind every pulpit in America today is a problem with our country today, because thus says the word of God. It's what God says and not what I think and what you think and what you want to do and how you want to live your life. It's what thus saith the Lord. If we get back to be what God has called us to be, this country will never be turned around. This country is going down a toboggan slide to hell faster all the time. Why? Because you and me and God's people won't even support the house of God. We won't support the things of God. We won't support what we should support today. We won't support our Sunday school. We do not support the things we should. Oh, we have all type excuses and all type of pleasures and all types of gods today. But I'm going to tell you, we get back where we ought to be. If you want to see something happen in your family, you get yourself right with God and do what God says. And I'll tell you, power will come upon your life today. The time of Jonah, Christians need to wake up and be concerned about the unconcerned this day. My third point of this message before I preach my first point of it is the promise of revival, the triune triangle of God. He says, I will promise revival. After God's people meets the requirements and the condition of my word, he says, I will do. Requirements and the promise of revival. He says, you know what I will do? I will move. I will move upon this devil's triangle, and things that the devil triangle, you know what, they go out of existence, they disappear. But things that God says I'll do, I'll bring things into appearance. I'll bring things into appearance, because the triangle of God here is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. At the last part of this verse of Scripture, here it says, God the Father, he says, then I will hear from heaven. This is God the Father speaking of that triangle of God today. And he makes things appear where the devil triangle makes things disappear. He says, I will hear. That means he will answer the request of what we are praying for when we get our life right with God. Whenever we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, he said, then I'll reveal the things to you that happened to you in your life and your family today. He said, I will hear from heaven. That is an answer to prayer, what you've been praying for, what's been on your heart today. God says in the book of Exodus, he said, I have heard the cries of my people. Whenever they cried out for 400 years, he said, then God heard from heaven. He says, I hear the cries of the people. Now, they've been crying out for God for a long time, the asking for a revival, asking to get out of this bondage, and God says, I heard their cry. That's what God's saying here in this verse of Scripture from heaven. I'm going to answer their request. God sent 10 different plagues on the nation of Israel, all the 10 gods that they had of that nation of Israel at that time, and he says, let my people go. They was in bondage, and I'm telling you what, God has got the same power, and there's some gods in your life, and gods in my life, and gods in the church life today, in people's life today, is they are under bondage just exactly like the nation Israel was whenever they was in Egypt. They're all type of gods today. He said, well, I will send a plague against every god they are. I'm going to tell you, we got so many gods. I will hear and I will send that plague. We got so many gods today. We got the gods of pleasure. You let something happen today on the pleasure of the ball fields today, in the stadiums today, or wherever it might be, in the auditoriums. We have so many pleasures. It might be out there in a hunting place. It might be out there in a fishing boat. It might be, whatever the pleasure might be. But I'm going to tell you, that takes first place in a lot of people's life, and they will never have revival to understand where you're supposed to be, at the house of God. If you are a child of God, this may not be very proper here today, but I want to tell you, I got to preach the whole counsel of God, and it's sin to knowing that you're supposed to be in the house of God, and you're not in the house of God if you belong in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you what, God sent 9 plagues to all those gods of Egypt, and every one of them was meant for those gods, and they began to get less and less of those gods, and then there was one god, it was the gods of death, and he sent the last angel, the last death angel, and it was death. And I'm telling you, if God has to, he'll send 9 plagues, and if that don't get your attention, he'll send that other plague. It's called the plague of death. Yes, he'll have to judge God's people. You find out in the Bible that some of God's people have to go home early because they would not turn from their wicked ways, and their gods, he had to send them that god of death to bring them home. Yes, they still had salvation, but I'm going to tell you what, they lost all the peace they had in the understanding. Send the plague against the gods and his people today. This holy God, to start with, he said, I'll hear you from heaven. The triangle of God, he says, I'll make things up here that also have been disappeared. He said, I'll send gods, and I'll tell you what, you'll see people getting right with God. But the second thing it says there about God the Son, he says, I will forgive their sins. You need your sin forgiven. Yes, God's people, after we're saved, that we still sin. 1 John 1:9, if I'm faithful, you know what, to confess my sin, if I ask God to forgive me, he said, I'll be faithful to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That 1 John 1:9, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. I need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon my life many times because I fail so many times. But he says, God the Father will hear from heaven, but God the Son is the one that heals you and the one that forgives you your sin. Now think about this. It's only his blood, only his way that you can get forgiveness today is because of that blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, you got some sin that's unconfessed to your heart this day. You will not have revival. It is the sin that they need to confess before God. And here the Son says, this triune God, he says, I'll make things appear that has disappeared. I'll make you have a clean life again. I'll show you the fellowship that we have again this day. Father says, I will tell them to forgive you. And then Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, you know what? He hung and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says, Father, it is finished. It's been paid in full. Everything that we need for forgiveness is through Jesus Christ, the Son. God says, I'll hear from heaven. Jesus Christ says, I'll forgive your sin. And then the third part, the Holy Spirit of God, will I heal their land? The Holy Spirit, the one that convicts us of the sin. We need healing in our land today. I'm on the Holy Spirit of God that does the healing today. He did it through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit today. Jesus Christ said, whenever he comes, he will convict this world of what? Of sin. I'm going to tell you, when he comes, he's here this day. He lives in God's people today. He's inside of me today. I have the Spirit of the living God living inside of me. I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit of God has come to convict today, and I'm going to thank you for the convicting power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God in my life today. He will convict this world of their sin. This world is sick. This world is a very sin-sick world. We're living in a sin-sick country, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of our churches are sin-sick today because they got so much pride they will not turn to God. They will not humble themselves. We got a lot of sickness in families today. I'm not just talking about physical sickness. I'm going to talk about the worst sickness that any family has today, and there's a lot of them on our church roll today, and it's called sin sickness. It's a spiritual sickness today. It's a weak and anemic Christian today. They don't understand that they need to serve a living in a true God, what Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross, and yet they say they're saved, and I know that I'm on my way to heaven, and I don't need the church. I don't need to come to church. And if you find anybody that ever says that, you're going to guarantee you one thing, they are a lost person, or they are completely out of the will of God. They cannot be in the will of God. They cannot have fellowship with God, saying the opposite thing that God says about his word, about his church, and about his people today. If they say they don't need the church, I do believe most of them is lost, because they will be a desire in your heart to do what God has called you to do if you're a saved person this day. He says there's that triune God. He says there's a promise of revival today. And I'm going to tell you, we got a sin-sick nation that we're living in today, and we need healing from our sin sick today. Now let's get back to my first point, just in case I don't get a chance to preach that third point. I want you to understand, God said, but all this, then I will do what I said that I would do if you would do what you're supposed to do. Now we have the part here now of the people of revival. And the people of revival, I've already told you, that's the ones that saved the day. Sitting here in this pew, that this church is going to be revived, it's going to be by those that's already saved and needs to be a turning back to God. I need a renewed relationship in all their life today, every one of them here today. And if I was to tell you, are you in the family of God? If I was to tell you to stand up now and everybody's in the family of God, would you come forth at this time? Would you know that I'm talking to you? Would you really know that you're in the family of God? Because a lot of people, they don't know for sure if they're saved. They don't know if they're lost or not. Yeah, they say, I'm a church member. I assure you that church membership won't get you to heaven. There's a lot of people in our church roll. I don't believe everybody's going to make it. I don't believe everybody's going to make it unless they say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a poor lost sinner that needs to be saved today. Would you know, it says in the 1 Corinthians, that let every man examine himself and see if he is in the faith or not. I'm going to tell you what things will start appearing when the people of God of the revival, when they say get they revived, they're going to be an upward path. I'm going to tell you this upward path in Romans 8 and 14 says, For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, in the family of God. I want to say they've been led by God. God's leading you. That's what I said a while ago. God has led you. If you are a saved person, God will lead you to the house of God. It's in obedience that God has called you because He wants to bless you if you understand this. I want to tell you what. We are a part of God's family today, been led by the Spirit of God. I'm in the family of God. Are you in the family of God today? Noah was led by the Spirit of God. Noah, God says, build an ark for 120 years. He done what God told him to do. Every day he went out there with his hammer and his saw, and he began to work every day. He began to do what God had called him to do for 120 years. And then it come time for him to move into the ark. You know what? God says, my business is the door, and your business is the window. And God says to Noah and his family, he says, I want you to come into the heart of the ark where I'm at. Noah and his family walked up that gangplank because they was pulled and wooed by the Spirit of God. Was still on earth that time doing his job just like it is today. Noah and his family come in that ark. You know what the Word of God says in Genesis? It says that God shut the door. God shut the door. Jesus Christ says, I have the keys of the door of death and also of hell. God, Jesus Christ said in Revelation, he says, when I open the door, he says, no man has shut it. That door stayed up for 120 years. But he says also, when I shut that door, no man will open that door. Whenever God shut Noah in, I'm going to tell you the judgment of this world was upon all the people on the face of the earth that time, and there was no man. All could get around that ark at that time. They might have been hundreds of people getting around the ark and beating on that ark as the water began to come, and the water began to come, and they was beating on that ark, and they was getting there and trying to pull that door open. But God says, when I shut that door, he says, no man will open that door. Oh, I'm going to tell you what God says, the will and the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. But then it says, Noah, you know your job is the window. God says you build an ark around that window, and that's your job around the window. I want to tell you what, when Noah walked in the ark, he was walking in on a new creation because he walked in that ark and he could not see around because the walls, it was 3-story high, and he could not walk around and see anything on the outside, only through the window. Which way was the window? He said that the top of the ark, that you might make that window, the top of the ark. Noah had only one way to look up in that ark, and that was look up to heaven through that window that he might see the blowing of the wind outside of that window. And I want to tell you what, inside Christ Jesus, that ark is symbolizing each and every one of us today, that we walk in Christ Jesus. And he said, Jesus Christ says, I am the door, I am the life, and if any man come to the Father, he must come through me. He says, I am the door. Whenever Jesus Christ has opened that door and you accept the salvation, that door, and you walk in that door, he says, I close that door, and Jesus Christ has closed me in. If you're saved here today, I want to tell you, know for sure he's closed you in, and that means he has the keys to heaven. He also has the keys to hell, and he's locked me in that ark of safety, and I no longer have to worry about going to hell. There's no way I can go to hell because Jesus Christ closed the door. I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going at today? He closed that door, and Noah had that window, and all through that time, that water upon the earth, all he could do was is look up. And that's what God's telling us today. If you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, he says all things have been passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. You're not just a different person. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It says that you was born from above, that you are a child of God, that you had no beginning. All the things you have is a future right now because you're a new child of God. And then he says there's only one way that you can do, and that's look up. If you are born again, child of God, and I'm going to tell you there's only one way that you can look, and that's look up. Don't tell me that these people saved, they're looking for all things of this world, and they don't need the church, and they don't need the people, and they don't need the things of God. They don't need to do what God says to do. When they say that they are saved, they're on the way to heaven, that's not what God says. They will be a difference because you are a new creation. You've been born from above. I'm going to tell you what, you're not heaven bound. You've been heaven born, and they have not been heaven bound if they do not do the things that God has told them to do in the Word. Matthew 7:21 also says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, shall enter into that ark, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to tell you what, there will be a upward path, but not only that upward path, there will be a new direction. This Mississippi River, if you see it on the map, you'll see that twists and it turns all the way through the states, but it always going in the direction of the Gulf of Mexico. And I'm going to tell you what, although that we have failed, we have crooks, we have twists in our life, but there must be a desire to go towards God in all of our lives. People call by my name. 1 John 2:19 also says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. I'm going to tell you not only that, there'll be a appearance. There'll be an upward appearance, but there'll be our profession of that faith that we have in Christ Jesus. And Matthew 10 and also 32 and 33, it says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to tell you, there's no such a thing as secret disciples. There's no such a thing as secret disciples. Will not my people say that I really do need to come to the house of God? God's got a reason for planting this church here. God's got a reason for local churches today. I hear sometimes people say, well, the church is just the mystical part of the body. It's just the mystical part of the body. Listen to me. If it was just the mystical part of the body, you would not even have your New Testament, because all these letters and all these epistles in the New Testament are wrote to letters of different churches. These letters was wrote to Rome. Letter wrote to Ephesians. These letters were wrote to all different churches. And if you was not in a local church, you would never hear from the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, there's something bad wrong when someone says that I don't need the church. There's something bad wrong when people says I know I'm going to heaven and I got this own thing worked out with God. God says there's something mighty, mighty wrong with that. I'm going to tell you what, they will be an outward profession when everything gets right. And I'm going to tell you, a holy triune of God comes upon your life. There'll be an upward path that he wants us to walk in. But you see, that's going to be an outer profession that you say, yes, I know Jesus Christ, that I am your child of God, and I'm going to do your thing. But then it says also this inward peace that we need. There's so many people today that do not have the inward peace of God. They're just existing. They don't have a life here on this earth. They're just existing. Romans 8:16, it tells us the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I don't know if there's someone sitting here today and you're not sure about your salvation. You don't know if you're saved or not. The life that you live, are you really saved? Romans says, you know, the only evidence, if my people call by my name, the only way that you'll find out is through the Holy Spirit of God, that he will affirm you. I'm going to tell you, you can do all the Bible reading you want to. You can do all the prayer you want to, but you'll never have this confidence that you're saved except the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God that convicts you. You'll never understand that you're lost without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. A lot of people think they're good enough. I'm just as good as of any of these people down at that church. I'm just as good. That's one of the reasons I don't think I need church, because I'm better than a lot of people down there at Pleasant Hill. Only thing wrong with that, they're measuring themselves with the wrong person. They need to be measuring themselves with Jesus Christ, because every one of us has fit sin and come short of the glory of God. If that person makes it, I know that I'll make it, because I'm just as good as that person. We're not going there because one person good, one person bad. If you go to heaven, it's because what Christ Jesus has done for for you and you throw yourself on His mercy. It's what Christ has done for you. Not good people. I'm going to tell you what, saved people is what we're talking about here today. The only evidence of the Holy Spirit of God. In 1 John 4 and 13, it also says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us the Spirit." He has given us the Spirit today. We need that. "If my people are called by my name," I'm going to tell you, if you're not God's people, you cannot have revival. I'm going to tell you what, you can have part of this revival, because you can be born again today of evidence of revival. But not only that, the fourth thing we find here is ongoing partnership. The ongoing partnership. That old song, "I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know." Well, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people can't sing that today, because we have too much societies in our churches today. We got too many cliques in today. But I'm going to tell you, "I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know." What does it mean to be an old-time Christian? It means dedicated to the Word of God, and dedicated to the people of God, and dedicated to the things of God, and you're not ashamed of it. I'm going to tell you, that's whenever people, they used to have dedication through this part of the country, where you believe it or not. I'm going to tell you, it don't matter what church you belong to. I'm going to tell you what, people weren't out there on Sundays plowing their crops with a mule or a tractor on Sundays. You didn't see a fishing pole in the back of their truck or a car going to a fishing place somewhere to go fishing. And you never heard anybody going climbing up a tree hunting on Sunday. I mean, you never had that. And there was any ball, it certainly was not on Sunday. Anybody playing ball, you can play all you want out in a cow pasture, but it wasn't during time of church. I'm going to tell you what, because they observed the things of Almighty God, and that day called Sunday was very special to God. It's a day called out for God. Every day that we're special of God. It's not just on Sunday. It's 7 days a week. But I'm going to tell you, this is the day that God set aside, that we honor Him. We put all things aside. And I'm going to tell you, the lost people had more respect for the things of God than saved people do today, or they call themselves. Say, "I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I knew. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed to lay things down. No, I'm not perfect. I'll still be in this old sinful body till God gets through with me. I'm not perfect, and I'll never claim to be perfect today. But I'm telling you what, I got a desire. I might be like the old crooked river of the Mississippi. I might wind here and there, but I'm headed straight to heaven. I'm telling you today, I got a desire. I'm still on my way, although I fall and come short so many times." It was called Christian the first time in Antioch. They was called Christian the first time in Antioch. I'm going to tell you, partnership, I'm going to tell you, marks our commitment. They was called Christian. They gathered today, these early Christians in the book of Acts in chapter 11. And I'll tell you what they done. They had partnership, and it was marked by commitment. Acts chapter 4 and 13 tells us, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they are unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took notice of them and knowledge of them that had been with Jesus." And when I'm going to tell you, when you get revived, people will know it. You won't have to advertise it. They know that you've been with Jesus. It'll show up on your commitment to Jesus Christ. It will show up in your family today. They had commitment, and by commitment comes the power of God to live their life. "If my people call by my name." Now, I'm going to tell you what, you can tell the difference by their lips, you can tell the difference by their life, and you can tell the difference by the loyalty that they have. And also, it was moved by companionship and also compassion. Compassion. That's why the change is compassion. Jesus Christ says, I looked out into the field and they were white into harvest. But yet He says the labors are for few. When you get revived, I'm going to tell you what, you'd be moved by compassion. You'll say, if you had a revival, this cotton patch up here, we're going towards Patterson out there on the right, a great big cotton patch. I guess it may be 100 acres big. And the days whenever you pick cotton by hand, I could just view this many, many times. I've viewed that cotton patch going there, and maybe there'd be one or two people out there with a sack on their back, and you picked it. The whole 100 acres, just maybe one or two, or maybe sometimes three, and sometimes maybe four people out in that 100 acres cotton patch picking cotton. And the rest of Pleasant Hill driving right on by them. Just a few out there in Pleasant Hill picking that 100 acres, and most of them go into their ball, and they go into their privileges, and they go into their pleasures, and they don't have time, and they're unconcerned about gathering in that great harvest that's in that field. I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what's happening in our churches across America today. It says the labors are few. There are dead people all over this world. I'm on people dying, and they're going to hell without Jesus Christ. Most of them don't know how to be saved. Well, where is all the harvest of the day? Where is the ones when it comes time to come and pray for revival? Where is it at whenever we have a time to pray for revival? Where is it at when we have time to go out witness and encourage somebody and ask the Holy Spirit of God to put somebody on our heart and mind that we might be able to be the person to change their life? Jesus Christ says, look out into the fields, because they white into harvest. But He says the labors are God, if you'll have compassion whenever this happens, things appear into your life, and I'm going to tell you what, there will be compassion. But they were motivated by convictions. Have you been motivated by conviction? You, I'm talking about, because you'd be marked by change. Acts chapter 4 and also 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. Psalms 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Marked by commitment. Now, where is your commitment going to be this week? Where is your commitment going to be for God this week? How about next week and the week after? Where is your commitment going to be? I know I might have preached a long time this morning, but I'm going to tell you there's a lot that needs to be said. I got my point number one across, and I just skimmed across that last part. I got one more part, and that is the process of revival. I know I need another hour. I know I need another hour for the process of revival. 2 Chronicles 7:13, if we'll humble ourselves and we'll pray, seek his face, and turn. That is my people. Didn't say we should advertise. Didn't say we just have a week of meeting. It says what to do. What are we supposed to do this week? Those four things. Humble ourselves. That means to bend the knee. To bend the knee, to bow down. Pride and deception is what we're up against this day. We're too proud to bend our knee to Almighty God. Oh, it's so destructive today. I'm going to tell you, the United States will fall. We'll fall if we do not humble ourselves. What would it take to humble this country? What would it take? I'm going to tell you what, for a mother and a father here this day to humble themselves and come and pray and seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways. Oh, you see, I'm a child of God. I don't have no wicked ways. I can assure you some of you, including me, got some worldly ways, and God calls that wickedness. It says if we could just humble ourselves, bow our face to God and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Pray. Nehemiah prayed before he ever went to build the walls. And it says in Nehemiah 1:4, and it came to pass when I heard these words about how our city was tore down, the walls tore down, that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heavens. You see, how many tears have you cried this week? Have you really prayed? Then it says, you know, seek my face. You know, that's what it all comes in when we start seeking God's face. There's something that happens when you start seeking God's face. When you humble yourself and you pray, you start seeking God's face, something's going to happen. I give you a lot of instruments in the Bible. You know what? Moses was at the burning bush. Turn aside to see that burning bush. And that burning bush began to talk to him. He says, pull off your shoes. I'm going to place you stand as holy ground. He was seeking God's face. Oh, Isaiah in chapter 6, the year that Uzziah died, he went into the temple. He saw something moving. Because three angels said, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. He says the temple posts began to move. He was scared. That all he could say, woe is me, of unclean lips. Then God cleansed him up, and then he says, here I am, send me. And then old Jacob, remember old Jacob? He sought the face of God, and he wrestled with Jacob all night long. And Jacob was walking like this. He had a wrestling match with God. As soon as he had a wrestling match with God, God touched him. And he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Some people think, man, if I just get close to God, I'll get myself healed. Here was a man walking plumb good. He got in the face of God, and he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Why? Because to understand that he had been with God. He had been with God. I'm telling you this day, he called repentance. If we're going to turn from our wicked ways, there's no way that we can turn from our wicked ways unless we repent. But all you say, we don't need to repent. We're doing real good. We're doing real good. Well, only the convicting power of the Word of God convicts you if you're doing real good. I certainly cannot do it. I don't know your life. I got more of my life than I can straighten out. I don't have to worry about nobody else's. I assure you of that. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want a revival, if you do what God says, you're the people of the revival. There's a process to go through, but then there's a promise of God that he will send a revival. It's up to you. You say, well, I don't need a revival. Well, we're fixing to find out. We have the song of invitation this hour, and they're coming, and as they come, I hope God has spoken to your heart. If there's a person here today now has never been saved. You thought you were, but the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you that you're not saved, and you need to come right now, that you need to do it. You need to do what God has called you to do. Maybe you know it might be for church membership. It might be that you just want to come, you want to pray for somebody. God has laid it on your heart. You want to be down here. And Lord knows that our family, we need help. So what if I go down? They'll think they have problems. I want to tell you something. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got problems. Don't think you're going to hide it, because God says, you know, we all going to have problems. We're living in a world of problems. Did y'all know that? Why don't you come down this altar and get it right with God? You want a revival? It's going to be up to you. Where are we going to start at? We stand right now and sing this song. Won't you come?
Without Him I could do nothing.
Won't you come?
Without Him I surely fail. Without Him I would be drifting like a ship without.
Without Him we could do nothing. I tell you, without Him we surely could not have a revival this week. Oh, you know what God has spoken to you? I tell you, I thank the Lord for the power, the Scripture, the Word of God. You know what I said? I don't know what exactly it meant to you, but I tell you, the Word of God, the Spirit of God will tell you something that you need to do in these Scriptures. It's always for everybody. It's for the lost. It's for the saved. It's for those that's backslidden. It's for those that need to come forth. Always something in the Word of God, if you've got your heart and your mind right, will convict you of something that you need to do for Jesus.
Without Him I would be dying.
Just remember, there's two triangles out there. It's called the devil's triangle, but you know there's a holy triangle called God's triangle. And He'll put things back together. He'll make things appear in your family that's been gone a long time. It might be peace. It might be trust. It might be comfort. In your life, I'm going to tell you, this triangle of God, if you do what God says to do, He'll bring a revival. He'll let you be closer to Him than you've ever been before. James says, if you draw nigh to me, He says, I'll draw nigh to you. I'm going to tell you, you can be just as close to God today that you want to be. And if you got loved ones already gone to heaven, and you want to be close to them, the best way you can be close to them is be close to Jesus. Oh, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. A lot of people we need to pray for. We'll be praying for our revival. I hope it starts in me. I really do. Do you hope it starts in you? See how committed that we're going to be this week. I know a lot of people have to work. A lot of people sick. See how committed that we're going to be to what God has called us to do here at this church. Bless you, and thank you again in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Darrell Walker, you might give us a benediction, please.